It's time for Awakening to Awareness, the show that awakens baby boomers to possibilities and opportunities as they approach or transition into retirement. Focusing on passion, purpose, and action, your host and his guests explore ideas for chronologically gifted people to perhaps finally align with and achieve their dreams and goals. There are vast resources available for boomers to support desired outcomes, and they'll be introduced here as well. With strengthened confidence, you can embrace life's third act with clarity about who you are and how you can live a life of even greater significance. Listen and learn how. Your show's host speaks, writes, and coaches about self-belief and choice. He's a professional coach with an MBA and 30-plus years of business and amazing real-world experience. Here to inform and inspire you is your host, Eric Tunnigsen.
Welcome, welcome to another edition of Awakening to Awareness, the show that intends to heighten your awareness about what really matters to your unique self, because each of us is truly one of a kind, and each of us has something different to share with the world. And as a boomer myself, I know how much of life we still have to explore, to experience, and to enjoy. And why not continue being who we are, who we're intended to be, as we grow into the next chapter or chapters of our lives. I'd like to thank Susan Cooper, who was our guest last week. For those who were unable to listen live, the podcast of Susan's show is available. You can tap into the rockstarradionetwork.com and click on the Awakening to Awareness site. And for those of you that are interested in calling in with questions for our guest during this show, the number is 866-404-6519. And with that, I'd like to introduce our guest for this particular show. I'm going to tell you, as a starter, this man is on a mission to help people overcome stage fright. At the age of 50, Walt Grassel chose to face his fear of stage fright, and it wasn't easy. He joined Toastmasters, but that alone didn't cure him of this disease. Walt was determined to conquer his fear, and he attended speaking boot camps, he competed in speech contests, and he studied improv and stand-up comedy, and he's since advanced to the finals of a number of speech contests. In addition, Walt has performed stand-up comedy at the Hollywood Improv and at the Flamingo in Las Vegas. He's performed in improv and sketch comedy shows, and he's recently been accepted to study improvisation at the prestigious Groundlings School in Hollywood. And for our international listeners, of course, that's Hollywood, California. He's recently retired, and at the age of 55, from a career in the aerospace industry, which he's going to share a little bit more about with us. And he also hosts a radio show on this same Rockstar Radio Network called Stand Up and Speak Up. And I'm sure he'll tell us more about that show as well. He's also the author of magazine articles and a book, which is titled, not surprisingly to me at least, Stand Up and Speak Up. So today we're going to learn about how Walt concluded a near 40-year career, if I'm doing my math right, with Raytheon, and stepped into the next chapter of his life without a plan. And I'm sure he's going to tell us what the benefits of doing that with or without a plan are. He's always an out-of-the-box thinker, and Walt chose to discover new ways of thinking and learning. So we're going to explore that as well, and we're going to probe how he then formulated a new path for himself, where this reinvention has taken him, and the opportunities that he has created that have now led him into the world of entrepreneurship. So, Walt Grassel, are you with us, sir?
Yes, sir, I am. And that sounds much more impressive the way you said it than the way I lived it. But thank you for that great introduction.
You're welcome. We're going to give you an opportunity then to augment the introduction. But what I'd love to start out with, Walt, is if you would just sort of add to what I shared in the introduction there. Your background professionally, at least for a large part of your adult life, is that of an engineer. So I'm sure our listeners would be interested in learning a little bit more about that. And why is it that you retired at such an early age?
Okay. I started out with, at the time it was Hughes Aircraft Company, and it got acquired by Raytheon, as a technician right out of high school. I went to a technical high school and I got my engineering degree, and I was always a very shy person, but early on people saw things in me and directed me towards leadership, and I was happy to serve in that role because I have kind of a service mentality. But this was all from a place of being afraid, terribly afraid to speak. If I was in a room of 50 people and I had something to contribute, oftentimes I did not contribute. Other times I would raise my hand, and then when I was called on, I would hem and haw and really have a hard time getting a coherent thought out. And in spite of that, I rose to the rank of a department manager of 100 design engineers, and I managed several projects of several million dollars in value. So in spite of my flaws, I was able to have a successful career. And the reason I retired at 55 was because I could afford to do so. I kind of planned that if that was at all possible, I would gear myself to early retirement, having stayed with the company for a long time. And there was a very nice retirement benefit back in the days when we were Hughes Aircraft Company, and which, by the way, was a nonprofit aerospace company, believe it or not. So that's why I retired when I did. And it wasn't until I, like you mentioned, I turned 50 that I chose to do something about this fear of public speaking that was holding me back. And maybe because I did it at such a late age, I kind of did it with a purpose and a passion to conquer it as quickly as possible. And that's why I'm doing all the things that I'm doing now. Had I tried to fight stage fright earlier, I might not have attacked it with the same passion, if that makes any sense.
Oh, absolutely. It does, Walt. I'm going to challenge you. You used the word flaws there, and I don't think what you cited as a flaw is really a flaw. I think we have strengths and we have weaknesses. But I'd love to come back to one thing that you mentioned early in your background story there, and that is that you have kind of a what you called a service mentality. What is that?
Well, when I got asked to be a supervisor, I was the youngest one in a group of six engineers, and the current, that was called the group level, and the current group had moved on to another assignment. One of the members of the team really wanted to be the new group head, but that was the person that got along with nobody and felt that if they were the boss, everybody would do what he told them to do. Others didn't want to step up and serve the group, and they were more qualified than I was. They had more experience, but I was one who I'm willing to help. And even throughout my career, I kind of had there's a saying, lead, follow, or get out of the way. Whatever is called upon to do, if I'm called upon to lead, I do it with the idea of how can I help the group I'm leading meet the goal they want to do. It's not about me telling people what to do. It's about helping them work together, communicate amongst each other, and reach the goal that we as a team are tasked to do. And there's a guy, the name escapes me. He wrote a book, I think it's James Hunter, wrote a book called Servant Leadership. And when I read that book, I really resonated with it. The idea that instead of a leader telling people what to do, he serves the people he leads.
Yes. Yeah. And if we have an opportunity during the show, maybe a little bit later, you can elaborate on what it is that you're doing in and with your life now that continues that servant leadership role. But I'm going to switch gears for a second because I think I misspoke, Walt, at least in terms of your retiring without a plan. I sense that there was not a complete absence of a plan, but you did choose to retire early. Did you have like complete clarity about what you were going to do once you left the aerospace industry, or did you have to spend a little bit of time mulling that? What exactly did you do when you walked out the doors of Raytheon?
Well, originally, before I went on this attack of stage fright, my plan was just to sit around in my underwear and watch TV all day and enjoy the retired life. But when I started conquering stage fright, one of the aha moments I had was in February of 2008. I was coming back from three or four boot camps with Darren LaCroix's group, The Champion's Edge, and the last one was Lady in the Champs, and I kept going around talking to all these people who were getting paid to speak to find out what the magic pill you take to get over stage fright was. And I say that as a metaphor, but what was the secret? And I really couldn't find it. But I found talking to them that they were I don't want to say this in a arrogant way, but they weren't that much better than me. They just weren't afraid to speak, or they spoke in spite of their fear. So I said, okay, in 4 years when I'm old enough to retire, I want to be good enough to get paid to speak. So I kind of went on a journey of improving my speaking skills. And then I met Craig Duswalt, who a person we have in common. He is the rock star behind the Rockstar Radio Network. And I went to his boot camp in March of 2012, 5 months before I was going to retire, with the intent of, okay, let me figure out how I can use this new skill set that I have to mold the career afterwards, so that on the first day of being retired, I'm not sitting around trying to figure things out. So I sort of was proactive a few months ahead of time, started to formulate this plan of what my message is, what the best value I can bring to others is. And through his mastermind group, they helped me figure out that, hey, there's a large number of people. 3 out of 4 people have stage fright. Maybe you could tell your story, which people seem to resonate with, and share that with them and help them face their stage fright and overcome it. So that's kind of how I planned my retirement. You know, I knew so, go ahead.
I was going to say, well, so maybe you didn't have a lot of clarity about the exact plan or the approach or the strategy, but you had a vision, at least in terms of what you wanted to do and where you were going to go. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it is. And again, the vision evolved in the kind of the last 5 years as I got closer and closer to retirement. And once I started to overcome the stage fright, then I figured that it would be something to do with speaking. And in a sense, it might make sense, is that for the first 50 years of my life, I kind of ignored a skill set. And then I made it a purpose that in the next half of my life, I will use that skill set that I've been ignoring and try and develop it and help people with it.
Very, very nice. And that's what we're going to get into, at least in terms of the meat or the substance of this program. We're going to break for a commercial shortly, but I am looking forward when we come back from the break to learn where does one get that magic pill? Because I think there's a lot of people listening that would love to take that magic pill, and I recognize that it was a metaphor. But I think it's very important that we talk about, you know, the skill sets that we possess that maybe we've never chosen to develop or to explore or to challenge. And the fact that you've taken your fear and stage fright and overcoming stage fright and applied it to your own speaking skills is a fascinating story. So after the break, we're going to come back and shift into fear and stage fright, and maybe what brought that on for you, Walt, and then what's come thereafter? What's the journey been? So stay with us as we head into a commercial break here. We'll come back with Walt Grassel.
You're listening to the Awakening to Awareness Show on the Rockstar Radio Network, where transitions meet transformation. Stay tuned as more awareness is created around why it's important for you to plan now so you can comfortably face new challenges, follow your life plan, and respond positively to a life filled with significance.
Get ready for Smart Health with your host, Dr. Glenn Mia. Friday afternoons at 2 p.m. Central on the Rockstar Radio Network. Smart Health is a one-hour program dedicated to discussions, interviews, and news in the ever-changing world of medicine. Information leads to smart choices, and smart choices lead to a healthier lifestyle. That's the quote of host and broadcast journalist Dr. Glenn Mia, M.D. This magazine-style radio show is a fast-paced program bringing together medical experts, authors, and patients to examine what works and what doesn't in staying healthy. Dr. Glenn Mia is a board-certified physician in pediatrics and internal medicine. His philosophy to wellness starts with an investment. He says proper nutrition, rest, and exercise are the best personal investments to maintaining good health. So join us for Smart Health with Dr. Glenn Mia. Fridays at 2 p.m. Central on the Rockstar Radio Network. If you could live your life truly standing in a place of peace, joy, and abundance, wouldn't that make your heart soar? Now you can, with Lessons in Joyful Living, with your host, Kimberly Rinaldi, Mondays at noon Central on the Rockstar Radio Network. Kimberly Rinaldi, having created a highly successful coaching practice, now teaches lessons in joyful living. She believes in empowering others and that through it, you have the ability to break through any and all barriers, thus allowing you to reach your greatest potential and joyfully step into your life's purpose. What used to take weeks, months, or even years, she can now teach you in a matter of hours with her programs. For more on Kim and her show, go to her website, KimberlyRinaldi.com. That's RINALDI.com. Then join us for Lessons in Joyful Living with your host, Kimberly Rinaldi, Mondays at noon Central here on the Rockstar Radio Network.
Welcome back. This is where we explore possibilities, discover options you may not have considered, and learn to be your authentic and inspired self. Awakening to Awareness is where you awaken to and develop ways to act on what can still be. Let's get back to the show and our engaging guest. Here's your host, Eric Tonigson.
And welcome back. For those of you that were not here for the show's opening, my engaging guest this session is Walt Grassel, and we're going to jump right into where we were before the commercial break and invite Walt to talk about his fear of speaking and how he overcame stage fright. So, Walt, where are you going to go with this?
Well, there are a couple of elements to it. Like with most things, it's usually a combination of things. The biggest thing that helped me was the concept of eye contact. And having been a shy person, I used to have a hard time talking to a stranger one-on-one up until my early 30s. Then once I was able to crack that nut, when I would talk to two or three people, I would get kind of tongue-tied because I'd never know who to talk to. And as I mentioned before, I was asking a lot of speakers in February of 2008, what's your secret? And they said preparation is important and rehearsing. And I agree that that is an important aspect of it. But nobody really said that, the thing about eye contact. But I heard people say that speaking is conversational. And, you know, some people said, look over your audience or, you know, imagine them, you know, the classic, imagine your audience naked. I go, that's not going to work. That's going to distract me or something. So what really worked for me, and it's really the thing that grounds me even today, is making eye contact with a member of the audience. And it's especially members that are closest to you. So I will have a conversation with one person, say a sentence or two, and then I will move my eyes and make eye contact with somebody on the other side of the room, and I will move around. And as I get to making eye contact with people in the back of the room, the eye contact is weaker, and I may start to get a little nervous. Then I just come back and look at my friends in the front rows to get myself grounded. And that is my key to conquering stage fright. Now, improv was a second thing that helped, because one of the symptoms that got me was getting tongue-tied and my mind going blank and my mind not working. And by taking improv classes, in improv, you cannot think ahead and you develop this skill of pulling out of your head what's in there and being able to make sense in a conversation. So if I prepare a speech and review it several times and I kind of know the flow of it, because of my improv training, I won't forget, and the nervousness won't make my mind go blank because I'm making eye contact. So there's a couple of dimensions to it, but if I were to say one tip, make eye contact with somebody, especially in the front rows, and talk to just that one person. And it's just like you're having a conversation. They're not responding back to you with their words, but they are with their eye contact, with their facial expressions. They do give you feedback, and that to me is what really grounds me.
So you're sharing this, Walt, in the context of speaking, and what I'm listening and processing is that this really is very relevant to how we make connections with people. And eye contact is certainly one thing that's fascinating, because I remember reading not all that long ago that people who cannot maintain or sustain eye contact are there's a much higher probability that they could be lying, or they're being dishonest or insincere. So in the context of all your training and your exploring and your learning, and you even said preparation and rehearsing, how do you then shift this skill to connecting with people and enhancing or improving a relationship with people?
Well, to me, it's one and the same thing. When I'm talking to somebody, now I make eye contact, whereas before, when I was shy, I would always look away and not make eye contact, or I would go on the other extreme and just like stare into their eyes to overly compensate for being nervous. So finding that right level of eye contact in a one-on-one conversation and talking to an audience, to me, it's actually the same thing. And I had a friend tell me one time that worked in the advertising industry, and her boss told her that all speaking is public speaking. If you're talking to somebody walking down the hall, if you meet somebody for the first time, or if you're giving a speech, you're speaking in public, and the skill set is essentially the same. And there's a lot of truth to that, especially with the aspects of eye contact and connection.
So one of the things that I always like to share with our listening audience is that, you know, it's never too late to learn new skills. And in the, you know, in the world of lifelong learning and skills development, this is certainly applicable. So maybe you could share with us how you could apply learning skills to, oh, I don't know, let's say learning to play an instrument, or exploring something new, or taking a class in an area that you've never even known anything about.
Yeah, I believe through my journey here, where before I addressed stage fright, I was a lifelong learner. Once I got out of college, got my engineering degree, I continued to learn things. As they made me a manager, I studied management techniques. I read every management book I could get my hands on. When I started to address speaking, I started reading a lot, taking a lot of training, and it was kind of like where I did the training, but I didn't do the work. I didn't apply because I was still afraid, but I have a lot of knowledge, and now it's all coming together. But I recently figured out that part of the reason people are reluctant to face their fears has to do with failing publicly. I came up with this analogy, if I could go on for a minute here. When we're a baby and we learn how to walk, we don't care about being judged. Otherwise, we'd all be crawling around now. About the time we learn to ride a bicycle, there starts to be a little nervousness and maybe a fear of being out on the street in front of your house and then falling down, and your friends are going to see you fall and stumble in public. And that fear of failure and being observed to fail kicks in a little bit, but for somehow we get through it, and then we enjoy the mobility of being able to ride a bicycle. Mm-hmm. As we get older, we start labeling ourselves with, I can't do this. I know I labeled myself as someone who can't draw, as someone who had no mechanical aptitude, as someone who couldn't speak in public. And it gets a lot easier for us to label ourselves, I can't do this, instead of doing the work that it would take to overcome that. So I recommend to people, if they have a fear of public speaking, that if it's too much of a leap to go and practice speaking in front of people, go take a group class where you might learn an instrument, but where you get comfortable making mistakes as you learn, because that's how we learn. It's about trying something, it doesn't work, you try it again a different way, and you keep repeating until you get success. And it doesn't really matter what it is that you're doing. If you want to learn how to do magic tricks, a lot of the high schools and parks and recreation departments, at least in the Los Angeles area, offer all kinds of things. Learn how to dance, learn a new skill, just get that, get practice not being 100% perfect the first time you try something, and that's okay, and you just keep working, and through time you get better. And so it's not all about necessarily just joining Toastmasters or taking an improv class or doing stand-up. If you want to overcome your fear of public speaking, there are other ways to begin to get comfortable facing your fears, doing new things, and exercising that muscle.
Indeed. You know, I love to dispel or find ways to bypass some of those labels that we so easily affix to ourselves, or that society, or that any group of people might, you know, and you hit the nail on the head there, Walt, with the I can't label. And then you went on to talk about making mistakes, and that's so integral to, you know, how we learn. So I'm curious, what's next for you in terms of your learning and your ongoing skills development?
Well, I guess my biggest thing that I'm doing now, there's two things. I'm getting ready to craft a message and speak to the service clubs to get stage time to become a speaker to get my message out there. But I'm also studying with a group called the Groundlings. That's an improv and sketch comedy school in Hollywood that a lot of famous people have graduated from, a lot of people that have made it to Saturday Night Live or are in movies. And they offer classes to the general public, and then they have a special show or a program that culminates with you performing and becoming a groundling. And I passed the audition, and I've been taking those classes. So I'm curious to see where it goes. And what's funny is I've been recently going back. A lot of people at my company are now retiring. The interest rates are more favorable for people going out. And when people hear what I'm doing, and I hadn't seen them before I went on this journey, they can't believe that the Walt that they knew is, you know, has a radio show, is speaking in public, has done stand-up and improv. It just blows their mind, and I love that.
And he's written a book, too, and we're going to talk about the book in a little bit as well. So in your wildest dreams, Walt, you know, at this young age, but you are formally or officially retired, what would you love to have as the outcome of your studying at the Groundlings?
I mean, to be a groundling or to become an actor, not for the money and the career, because I don't really want to go back and do what would be considered work, but just to be able to do the fun things without the burden of having to make a living at it, I think is just going to be a wild ride, and I'm looking forward to it. I haven't put a cap on how far I want to go. I'm just taking it one step at a time, and I tell people I'm just living the dream.
Yeah, if you put a cap on it, then there's obviously a glass ceiling there that you're imposing on yourself, as opposed to leaving it wide open. So we're going to break for a commercial in just a few seconds here, but I love the fact that you cited the word. You're just looking to have fun. So when we come back from the commercial break, we're going to talk to Walt a little bit about having fun and see where that takes us. So stay with us.
You're listening to the Awakening to Awareness Show on the Rockstar Radio Network, where transitions meet transformation. Stay tuned as more awareness is created around why it's important for you to plan now so you can comfortably face new challenges, follow your life plan, and respond positively to a life filled with significance.
In the annals of recorded history, there has never been anything that can compare to home movies. But now, in this modern era, where do you turn for the best information? Right here. It's the Home Movie Legacy Project, hosted by Rhonda Vigent. Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Central here on the Rockstar Radio Network. Learn how to organize, digitize, share on social media, use as genealogy research, repurpose, or even monetize found footage. Discover ways to find films about your own family that you didn't even know existed. Or create a documentary that can use the power of home movies to deliver a message that can impact the lives of many. For more on Rhonda and the show, go to our website, homemovielegacy.com. Then be here as the journey continues with the Home Movie Legacy Project with Rhonda Vigent. Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Central here on the Rockstar Radio Network.
Are you fascinated by the stories behind the stories? The people behind their masks? The truth about people's failures and redemptions in both their business and personal lives? Then Off the Record Secrets Of with host Judy Schreiner is for you. It's people's secrets that make them interesting, but very few folks are willing to reveal them unless they trust that their information will be treated with accuracy, fairness, and respect. People have been entrusting their secrets to longtime business journalist for the last 25 years, and now she's bringing her expertise and impressive contact list to Rockstar Radio Network. Tune in and call in as host Judy Schreiner talks to guests off the record as they reveal new secrets each Tuesday at noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central.
Welcome back. This is where we explore possibilities, discover options you may not have considered, and learn to be your authentic and inspired self. Awakening to Awareness is where you awaken to and develop ways to act on what can still be. Let's get back to the show and our engaging guest. Here's your host, Eric Tonigson.
So once again, my guest on this edition of Awakening to Awareness is Walt Grassel. And for those of you who are interested in or might like to call in with questions for Walt, the number is 866-404-6519. And just before the break, we were talking about the fact that Walt has recently enrolled in and is studying at the Groundling School, which is a very prestigious school in Hollywood. We're going to talk a little bit more about what it is that he's studying there, but he mentioned the fact that he's having fun. And I know that practically all of us are looking for ways to continue having fun, especially as we're heading into retirement or if we're recently retired. So, Walt, if you would mind elaborating a little bit on what it is you're doing to have fun and how does that tie into what I'm going to call you're now being an entrepreneur. You might have another way to phrase it or call it something different.
Okay. When I read a little bit about your last guest, Susan Cooper, I think you used the term encore entrepreneur. And I heard that and I go, that's what I am, an encore entrepreneur. One of the things about having fun is I'm at a point in my life where, you know, the reason I retired when I did is it wasn't fun commuting back and forth to work. It was something I did to, you know, to do the job that I did, which if you have to work, was a great job. But it wasn't all the stress was probably taking years off my life. So in retirement, I want to have fun. Conquering stage fright has enabled me to do things that before I would have been afraid of. But now I enjoy performing in an improv show, going to open mics and doing stand-up, speaking wherever I get the chance to speak. I enjoy doing puzzles, word puzzles, Sudoku, whatever. I can do whatever I want. I'm exercising, getting myself in shape. That's, to me, what being retired is about. And I forget where I was where I heard a story where they talked about a bunch of young MBAs went down to some South American fishing village and went out on a boat with a guy and asked him what he did. And he says he likes to fish and come back in and then hang out and play with his kids and then play the guitar and eat the fish with his friends and go to sleep and do it all over again. They go, well, you know, this is a great business you have here. You can make a lot of money and then you can go retire and then really enjoy your life. But they didn't realize that he enjoyed his life. So I've got an I set up myself. I had a good job. For the lifestyle that I want to leave, I'm comfortable. So now I don't want to do things that are going to cause stress. I will work on things, but if it becomes too much work, I'll drop it. I enjoy doing my radio show. If for some reason the radio show became too stressful, I would let it go. As much as I enjoy it, I'm not going to add stress back into my life. I did that during my working career, but the beauty of being retired and being in control is that I make the choices. So I guess this is the first time this is occurring to me, but I'm sort of like, where some people, they're an entrepreneur to generate income. I'm an entrepreneur who's going to have who's going to generate fun. And to the extent that I can generate income having fun, I'm going to do it. But I'm not going to sacrifice fun for income because I've set up my lifestyle where I don't need to do that. Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes complete sense. You're preaching to the choir here, Walt. We are on the same page, although I am not yet fully retired. I have a few years to go before that I allow myself to do that. But I, many years ago, made a conscious choice, to use your word, to live a stress-free or to minimize stress in my life, because I realized the positive effect and the benefits that it has on our physical wellness. And it also contributes to life balance and the sorts of things that you were talking about, you know, the trade-offs. And what I really like to liken it to is that we're conditioned to believe or to strive for what society often calls the traditional measures of success. And one of them is income. It's money. And if you can find ways to be happy and, as you said, to be fun and to live a stress-free life and somehow or another make a contribution. And, you know, that comes back to the earlier part of our conversation, you know, in terms of giving and being in service to other people. I think that's an ideal world. And that's something that I would personally aspire to when I retire. So I love your perspective on that. Thank you for sharing that.
Can I add just one more thing real quick?
Please. Absolutely.
The thing about happiness that I see a lot of people struggling with is, like you mentioned, they compare themselves to what society dictates it, or they look around at what other people have. And there are people living in Beverly Hills, or we have some ritzy neighborhoods in Palos Verdes here in the LA area, and really rich people, millionaires, billionaires, that are unhappy. And so if you compare what you have with what other people have, somebody's always going to drive a nicer car, their grass is going to be greener. And it's not about what you don't have or what somebody else has more than you. It's about what do you have? And you have your talent, and you have acquired your physical possessions. And if those are enough for you to lead the lifestyle that you want, don't pay attention to what other people judge. You know, who cares what other people think when it comes to things like that, or about anything for that matter, but that's a whole other discussion. But if we stop keeping up with the Joneses and get what we need and are happy with what we have, it's much easier to lead a fun and happy life.
And you are living that life, and you are the envy of a lot of people. But then again, you made some conscious choices and you put yourself on this particular path, and there's no reason why anyone can't do that as well. So the one word that always comes to my mind, Walt, and that I love to use either in, you know, just casual conversations or if I'm working with clients, is significance. And for me, there's a considerable distinction between living a significant life versus living a life that's aligned with or measured in traditional measures of success. So kudos to you.
Thank you. I agree with you.
You're on a wonderful path. So let's talk a little bit more about how did all of this come about then, you know, in terms of where you are today and where you're going, sort of a timeline, if you will, from the last couple of years to maybe a couple of years out. What's the journey been, and what's it looking like?
Well, it started with a work situation that because I was a department manager, I had to do some public speaking when we were going through some layoffs as a company, not to the people being laid off, but to the people that were not being laid off. It was a relatively small layoff, but obviously if you're one of the persons that's being laid off, it's not small. But the numbers were not that large, but they wanted to explain to the remaining workforce what was going on and why. And I was so nervous, I had to basically read the HR points, and I came across as insincere, which was not what the company wanted us to do. So I had a heart-to-heart talk with my boss, and that led me on a journey to join Toastmasters, which 15 years before, when I heard about it, I said, there's no way I could do that. This impromptu, these table topics where people talk impromptu for a minute, no, that's not for me. Well, I did that, and then I recently wrote a blog about this. In fact, I think it was published this morning. But it was basically joining Toastmasters opened up an opportunity, and I developed this muscle that when an opportunity to improve myself, especially in this area, came up, I would say yes, whereas before that, I would always just say no. And I joined Toastmasters. I started doing some stand-up because when I went to a humor boot camp, I wrote a simple joke and couldn't remember it on stage, and my hands were shaking. And there was 12 people in the class, and they were in the audience, and I couldn't deliver it to them. A bunch of, you know, it was just really bad, but I kept working. The one thing I didn't do was stop testing myself. So I put myself out there. I took step after step. And I mean, now I'm doing a radio show. When I first started joining Toastmasters, the idea that I'd be able to talk for an hour, I mean, I've done shows without a guest, I think 3 or 4 of them now. And that's just, I couldn't relate to that. So in the future, I can see myself giving speeches, talking to people, maybe in the school system, encouraging students to not run from their fear of public speaking, but address it, because it makes such a big difference to be able to speak and get up in front of people. If I can do some more acting, I've done a couple of improv shows and some sketch comedy shows. It's fun. The improv is more fun because I don't have to remember any lines or any, like, a speech. But sketch is, it's structured, it's a different animal, and I love doing that as well. So I hope to do more of that. Maybe write another book, maybe write a fiction book. I'm playing around with drawing. On my blog, I started drawing cartoons instead of using other people's pictures, so that way you don't have to worry about copyright issues. And one of the labels I had put on myself was that I can't draw, so I'm kind of, not only am I drawing, I'm putting my little cartoons on my blog and publishing them. So it's like, really, I don't have any bounds. I might be doing something in 3 to 5 years that I have no clue of. It's not even on my radar, but an opportunity may show up, and I'm going to say yes and figure it out later.
You know, I love the confidence that just, I'm going to use the word, exudes. I can hear it in your voice, Walt. And you didn't take any magic pills, because there really isn't a magic pill, but you found a way to develop skills, and in the process to get more comfortable with those skills, which translates into confidence. Because you challenged yourself, you know, you made a conscious choice to challenge yourself. So we're going to take a commercial break in just a few seconds here, but when we come back, one of the other words that comes to my mind when I'm listening to you, and this was even something that we talked about on the show last week with my guest Susan Cooper, is reinvention. And you, in my mind, have clearly reinvented yourself. You're continuing to reinvent yourself. So if you would give some thought to that, when we come back, we can talk about, you know, where did the self-belief come from that you now have in yourself? And, you know, when you couple that with the confidence and your plan or your path of reinvention, it's going to make for a fascinating share with the audience. So stay with us. We're going to break for a commercial, and we'll be back with Walt Grassel.
You're listening to the Awakening to Awareness Show on the Rockstar Radio Network, where transitions meet transformation. Stay tuned as more awareness is created around why it's important for you to plan now so you can comfortably face new challenges, follow your life plan, and respond positively to a life filled with significance.
Information about book publishing is power. The power to change your authoring life and the power to change the lives of your readers. So join us for Your Guide to Book Publishing, Everything You Want to Know But Didn't Know What to Ask, with your host, Dr. Judith Bryles, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific on the Rockstar Radio Network. You'll hear about statistics, scenarios, and strategies on what to do now. As the book shepherd, Dr. Judith Bryles is in. And each week, she will include publishing professionals that will reveal tips and secrets to the author's journey. If there is a book in you, you want to listen, learn, and yes, call in with your questions each week. For more on Judith and what she can do for you, check out her website, thebookshepherd.com. It's Your Guide to Book Publishing, Everything You Want to Know But Didn't Know What to Ask. Brought to you by Author You and The Book Shepherd, with your host, Dr. Judith Bryles. Thursday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, on the Rockstar Radio Network. Are you happy with your life? Satisfied with the direction you're taking? More importantly, are you content with the results you're seeing? Then Success Profiles Radio is the program for you. Join host Brian K. Wright as he talks to experts in many areas relating to life success, including expertise in leadership, business, relationships, careers, networking, health, overcoming adversity, and much more. Each week, we'll explore different aspects of success and how to apply them to your life. For more on Brian and the show, check out his website, briankwright.com. Each week is a dose of inspiration. So many people live their lives wanting more than they currently have. Success Profiles Radio is a show that will clearly demonstrate the principle, if I can do it, you can do it. So don't miss this. Control of your life and your results. Success Profiles Radio with Brian K. Wright, Mondays at 5 p.m. Central on the Rockstar Radio Network.
Welcome back. This is where we explore possibilities, discover options you may not have considered, and learn to be your authentic and inspired self. Awakening to Awareness is where you awaken to and develop ways to act on what can still be. Let's get back to the show and our engaging guest. Here's your host, Eric Tonigson.
And as we head into the final quarter of our Awakening to Awareness show, my guest Walt Grassel and I were just talking about self-belief and confidence, or the flip side of that, doubting ourselves. And so I'd like to invite Walt, as we come back, to talk about what sort of steps did he take to begin to overcome those doubts, and share with our listeners the fact that beating ourselves up, it doesn't serve any real positive or constructive purpose. So thoughts on that, Walt?
Well, like when it came to public speaking, I mean, I knew I wasn't good at it. And as I got up and gave speeches, it was hard. And when you're struggling, it's about, to me, if you want to be successful, you just persevere. Perseverance is a big part of it. So it's okay to stumble and fall. You get back up, you try and figure out why. And this, when I started, each success I had kind of increased my confidence, and it built on. And this kind of goes back to when I played high school sports. One of the big things why I think it's important that kids play sports, it's not about the winning, it's about the process of how you develop a skill and how you deal in a competitive environment. When I was a freshman basketball player in high school, my school did not cut anybody. So there were 20 of us on the team, and I was in the fourth string. I don't know if I was the 16th best player or the 20th, but I was in that group, and they wouldn't put us in. Even if we were 30 points ahead with 2 minutes left, if we were 30 points behind, they figure, okay, we're not going to win. We'll let these guys play. But that summer, I played on my driveway and practiced shooting and the different basketball skills for 3 to 4 hours a day in the heat of the summer. And when I came back, I was able to be a starter on the sophomore team. And that just taught me that if you work at something and you persevere and don't talk yourself out of something that you want to do, you can do it. And I just apply that same perseverance to what I'm doing here. When I decided on that plane trip back in February 2008 that I wanted to be good enough to speak, what I did was I immediately said I'm going to speak once a month at my Toastmasters Club. In the contest that Toastmasters has twice a year, they have two contests each time. I would compete in every contest, even though it was table topics, which I hated table topics, evaluation, tall tales, doesn't matter. I am going to compete. And the reason I'm going to compete is to practice. And I'm going to work. And then it was taking improv classes. When I started taking improv, I struggled. It's hard if you get in your own way. But the more you do it, the easier it becomes until being in an improv situation becomes almost second nature, at least in terms of making your mind blank, being in the moment and listening. So it's about not giving up. It's about persevering. And when you fall down, you get up. When you don't do something perfect, it's okay. But each time you do it a little bit better, you start to develop confidence. And the more you do something, the more confident you become. And as you start putting in the hours, you can become a force to be reckoned with.
So I'm going to play back a few words that you've used during the show. Perseverance, preparation, confidence, stress-free, and fun. In the aggregate, when you think about all those things, Walt, and the fact that you're reinventing yourself, what can you share with us about the concept of reinvention, unique or specific to you?
Well, I think it's like Stephen Covey says, we're free to choose and we're responsible for the consequences of our choices. So if you, let's say for some reason you had a trade and you got locked into a job and you have to feed your family and that's all that you can do, at some point in your life, if you want to reinvent yourself, that is your choice. Now you have to accept the consequences if you go down that path. But I believe that for most things, obviously, at 6 feet at my age with bad knees, I'm not going to be able to dunk a basketball. That's not a goal that I would choose. But almost any other choice, if I put in the time, I believe I could become a concert pianist. It may be 10 years out if I played every day and took lessons and developed that skill. If that's something I wanted to do that badly and applied myself, I can do it. I just have to be willing to commit to do the work. So I think what reinvention to me is to decide what it is you've always wanted to do and get to the point in your life when you can chase that dream. Or it may not be something you've always wanted to do. It may be something new that catches your eye that says, you know what? I didn't even know that this was possible. I'm going to go off in that direction and see what I can do and try it. And then when you take that step to try it, if you stumble, you can think about, okay, am I stumbling because this is part of the normal learning process, so I'm going to get up and do it again? Or is there something fundamentally disconnected that I can't do that? But don't just automatically the first time you stumble say, oh, I stumbled, so I guess I can't do it. I think to me that's the big, you know, there's a choice there. Is this the wrong thing for me, or is this just part of the growing pains? And if it's just the growing pains, have the courage to go after what it is that you want and fight through those pains and do it.
You know, it's interesting you brought that up. I too write a blog, and my blog post yesterday was, when, if at all, is it the right time to quit? And I elaborate on that for my readers as well. But I want our listeners to know that they heard it here first. In his choosing to become a concert pianist as part of reinventing himself, Walt Grassel, maybe 10 years down the road, will be the concert pianist that we'll all be buying tickets to go listen to. So I'm looking forward to that, Mr. Grassel.
Let me quickly retract that. That was not my thing. That was a random example. However, but, you know, I may be you may see me doing a sketch on Saturday Night Live. That is not out of the realm of possibility.
Absolutely.
May not be likely, but I'm going to be going down that path and see how far I can ride that horse.
Absolutely. Ride into the sunset, right? So, Walt, I'd like our listeners to be able to touch base with you or contact you after the show if they're so inclined. Would you kindly share with them how can they reach you? You've written a book. We haven't even talked about your book. So take a moment to talk about the book and where it is they can get it if they're interested.
Okay. You can send me an email to walt@waltgrassel.com, and that's G-R-A-S-S, that's S as in Sam, L as in Larry, no E's anywhere near the end of that of my name, .com. And my website, waltgrassel.com, has links to my book, to my radio show, which is also on the Rockstar Radio Network. It airs at 2 o'clock Eastern on Thursdays. As Eric mentioned, I have a book, and I may have just said that, on Amazon, and you can also get it through there's a link on my website, and I have a blog on my website. I have some magazine article links on my website. The website's the place to go to find out more about me, and I welcome anybody's comments. Just send me an email, walt@waltgrassel.com.
Good. And I wasn't sure if you made it clear there, Walt. How do they read your blog?
If you go to my website, there's a tab on the landing page that says blog, and
got it.
The blogs are there.
Good. So while Walt is plugging his blog, I will plug mine. It is awakeningtoawarenessblog.com. All one word. No spaces, no punctuation marks at all. I'd like to acknowledge that these shows, as my show, as well as Walt's show, are all available for download for free for those of you that are interested in listening to them other than during the live broadcast. All you need to do is go to the RockstarRadioNetwork.com website and click on shows. You can select individual shows and download the podcasts from there. You can also go to iTunes, where the podcasts are available. It's a little bit more complicated to find them there. So if you're looking for the easy route, which many of us do, because it's efficient, Awakening to Awareness or Walt's show, Stand Up and Speak Up. Very quickly, I'm going to leave our listeners with two websites. I'd like to share resources that are available to the baby boomer generation and those people that are just heading into retirement or that are recently retired. And one of them is volunteermatch.org, O-R-G, volunteermatch, one word. And this is a website that strengthens communities by making it easier for good people and good causes to connect. It's a fascinating site. And the second site is dayonestories.com, dayonestories, one word. And it's a beautiful website. It's actually created by the folks at Prudential Insurance, and it shows you how does your first day of retirement look like through the eyes or the lens of hundreds of people who have retired like you from all over the United States. So for our listeners outside of the United States, it's going to be a bit of a biased perspective from an American's perspective, but nonetheless, it's a very, very informative and interesting site, dayonestories.com. Walt, any closing thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners, please?
No, just I encourage people to live their dreams, face their fears. Don't let your fears keep you in a box. If you have a fear of public speaking or something else that's holding you back, take steps to overcome it, and you'll feel so much better once you do, and you'll live a life that you couldn't even imagine.
Yeah, and your book elaborates on those tips and those techniques at great length. So I would recommend to anyone that's interested in addressing fears, and it doesn't necessarily have to be fears of public speaking or stage fright and how to overcome it. There's certainly ample information in Walt's book that would be of value to you. So once again, thank you for tuning into the Awakening to Awareness show. My guest, Walt Grassel, it's been a pleasure, sir. Thank you so much for creating time to share with us the importance of persevering, preparing, being confident and having self-belief, and the freedom to choose. And I realize that was a Covey message, but nonetheless, it played well into what you were sharing with us. So thank you so much, folks. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this week's Awakening to Awareness. Eric's goal is to help baby boomers realize that they need not quietly drift off to life's sidelines, as society often whispers. You've still got an active life to experience. Eric believes that each one of you has the wherewithal to construct a life of significance,